glad to be with you here this morning as we appreciate it, the worship thus far and the discussion we had in the Sunday school. And we're thankful that we have a beautiful day in which we can put our attention to serving the Lord or worshiping Him, and trust that that it will prove to be a blessing to us for our walk of life for the coming week as we sense our need of our Savior and our fellowship and worship with Him, and realize that truly it's in Him we live and move and have our being, as this particular poet had said. And so I'm glad to be here with you, and thank you for your blessings that you can be to me, and invite you down to Pine Creek sometimes, even though we don't have a lot of room. And we are planning to have a discussion on the Morris Mennonite Church has offered us the whole church for nothing. Here it is, you take it. And we're going to be having to decide, and I think it is a little more room, right? But we're going to, that hasn't been decided yet as a church. Brother Joe is going to be down, and we're going to talk about that on the 12th of this month. And so we'll have to see where that leads. We were aware that we needed to be doing something, and we started talking about it, but we did spend quite a bit of money on a school, so we were thinking about it, and suddenly they came and offered this. Apparently they don't have the members there no more. They don't, the upkeep and that is too much for them, and so they want to give it to us, and so that that's not easy to overlook. And it does seem that you know, maybe God is in this, and so we better look at it. We do have the opportunity to have it for a Sunday or more and decide then, as far as they are concerned. And so we may face changes, as we do in life, and various things we tend to slide into our daily life and our daily way of doing, and sometimes we may even get into a rut in which we don't want nothing to shake us out of that particular course that we have, and yet the Lord does that for us at times. And the message I was thinking of this morning is faith responds in adversity. And what is our response to that when the Lord shakes up our way of doing, shakes up our pattern of life, and it seems something else has to be done, and sometimes maybe you're not always ready for that. And sometimes there's some things are rather unpleasant that may come our way, and we have to put our faith and trust in God, that God has a reason for the things that He brings in our life, and we need to learn from what God has for us and what God's will is in this particular situation. In Psalms 57, verse 1 and 7, verse 1 says, "Be first merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed." And then in verse 7, he speaks of calamities there. And this here scripture was, or this psalm, was a michtam of David when he fled from Saul in the cave. It was an experience that he faced here that he didn't know the outcome. Things looked against him. And then in verse 7, he says, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." If we remember that occasion when he was in the cave there, Saul came looking for him, and so he hid and went back in the cave. And if we know what feeling that is, did you ever feel trapped by the circumstances of life that come your way, the situation that's presented to you, and you looks like there's no way out? And so he's back in the cave there with his men, and Saul is at the mouth of the cave looking for him, and so he definitely would have felt things may not go well here as far as he was concerned, and yet we trust he put his faith in God. Well, we know the outcome of that. Saul did not enter the cave because one of the rabbis thought, or whether he had any evidence for that, I don't know, but he thought that Saul saw a spider web at the mouth of the cave, and he decided, well, no use going in there. He can't be in there. And so he never went in, but he just laid at the mouth of the cave there and slept. And I know how David, his men told him, "Here's your chance. This is a man tormenting you. Get rid of him." And David had a conviction of heart that the man that God anointed, it was not up to him to take that man's life. And his men thought, this is the chance. And so he did have respect to God, and he wanted God's will in this. And so even though his conscience smote him later for doing it, he cut a piece off the Paul's skirt of his garment, and had that piece. And he says later his conscience smote him for doing that. But only after Saul left that he cried out, after he was no longer trapped, he cried out to Saul and brought Saul to the place where he wept. But it was a deliverance from God, even though he didn't know what was going to come out of it, why it was God's deliverance. We ourselves may face adversity at times. Various things of life can come in, and we have experienced some, each of us probably, but we see others also that are facing hardships. Boys drowning in our area, one, and now one in Missouri, and something that happened in the family, and so there's family problems. Sometimes there's marriage problems. Sometimes we face a need in our homes for child training. We father and mother say to each other, we have to do something here. The children are getting out of hand, and they don't know right what to do. And they want to do the right thing, and they want to do what God wants them to do. And yet they realize if they let things follow their course, it may not have a good end for the end result of the child. And so what are they going to do? They may face financial pressures where it doesn't seem to have cash flow, where the money that you need is not there when you need it. And so what are we going to do with that situation? There may be interpersonal relationships with others, and the need that would be there to have right attitudes and to allow God to help and work and which we can love one another. We may find that in church life, an area where we would think it should be the closest relationships, and yet sometimes that's where it shows the quickest that there is a need of love, there is a need of understanding one another, there is a need of overcoming the pride and the flesh in which we would rise up because we feel somebody has transgressed on our rights and on what we thought ought to come to pass. We can look around us and see the world around us today, and it looks like a dismal place as we think of the need of the spirituality of human beings and the need of evil being checked and the evil that seems to take over the world. We think of the world events in which there are wars being fought, in which nations and countries are trying to destroy one another, and the political events that take place. And if we watch too close, we could be taken up in politics. But as Christians, we need to come to the place where we realize that God has His hand in it. And so there are various things that come to pass in our life, sickness as well, that we may face in life. And how are we going to, by faith, respond to these adversity? Think of several words there. Adversity would be one, and affliction would be another, and testings would be another, in which I don't think you can give a specific category entirely for each one, but one can be adversity and it can be affliction, and as well as more than one thing. But it's the times that those things take place in our life and circumstances come to bear on us that we don't have the answer, and we, as the saying goes, we come to the end of our rope and don't know what to do about it. And so it is that we need to put our trust in the Lord. That's one example we need is after the spies were sent into Cana, Joshua and Caleb, an example of men with a fixed heart. The other spies said, we can't overcome, we can't do this, even though God said they could and should. But they said we can't. But there was two that had a fixed heart. And that's what we need to have. Our heart needs to be fixed, in which we're going to, as our goal in life, we're going to fasten on the Lord and on the Lord Jesus and what God can do, and not allow ourselves to be turned away from what the Lord would have us to be. God saw about Joshua and Caleb that they allowed to go into the land because there was a right spirit within them. And so as we see the afflictions that come our way, there's a couple scriptures we could look at where it would speak of the problems and issues that are going to come in our life. 1 Thessalonians 3:3, it says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. And so we need to fix our heart and our mind on serving the Lord and the realization that we're appointed to this. As Christians, you know, we do emphasize the beauty and the glory and the experience that we can have in the Christian life, what we call the mountaintop experiences. And yet we need to realistically face up to it then that they didn't accept Jesus Christ in this world, and neither will the world accept us unless we do what they want us to do. They don't want somebody living out a life before them that brings reproach or condemnation on them. And so there were those people in the church at Thessalonia that, even though the Thessalonian church, there were those that did respond. And Paul commends them in the first chapter, 1 Thessalonians. But we see that there were those that hated them, those that didn't like them. And Paul is saying here that we are appointed unto that. As followers of Jesus Christ, we're appointed to have them kind of experiences. Acts 14, 22 is another verse. I'd like to look at that in that thought. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, they told many, they turned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And so we need to fix our hearts and minds on that, even though that we have faced these afflictions and trials, and that they are going to come, and it's appointed to us and to the Christian, that even though we can rejoice in what he has done, that we are going to face tribulation and adversity and things that would cause us to wonder, is God with me or is he not? But then we need the response of faith and keep our heart fixed on the Lord, that whatever circumstances come in our life, we can respond in the right way. So the pressures we face in life, they tend to cloud our vision. They tend to make that we don't see straight, because we feel the pressure, and it may take time. It may take a little to get on our feet when the adversity comes, to be able to understand and remember that the Lord is with us and he is going to help us. Job 5:7 says that man is born to trouble, as the sparks fly upward, by the same as sparks go up by man is born to trouble, because for various reasons, and so God has made it so. For one thing, sin produces adversity. We were born in sin, and we reap what we sow. And so in life, maybe at times we haven't always made the right decision, and we have failed or sinned in our life. And there can be repercussions to sin. There can be times when we need to pay the price. God can alleviate, does alleviate when people repent sometimes. But we need to understand that we're going to reap what we sow. And we also, Adam and Eve, were into sin, and so we're born in a world of sin. And our natural nature would be to follow sin. And so there's results that are going to come out of going and failing and sinning in our life. And so sometimes that may bring adversity, not always because of sin we done, but because that in sin we find God in his mercy. Psalms 103:10, he has not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. That in the experience, we have to realize that it really, God didn't deal with us as harsh as we really deserved. That God is still merciful to us as we come to Jesus Christ and repent of sin. And Hebrews 12, we read of chastisement. And Lamentation 3:33, it tells us that God doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. It isn't that God wants to see you suffer. It isn't that what God wants to happen when we fail in life and he brings affliction to pass. And so there is chastisement that can come because of sin in our life. Another adversity is a trial of faith, brings also suffering sometimes. Sometimes, though, we have a relationship with the Lord, and we think we believe we are walking with him, but their adverse experience may come in our life, or circumstance may come to bear upon us, that God is allowing us to be tested. He's allowing us to have circumstances come that will cause us to stop and wonder, why did God do this? And in that experience, then we will seek the Lord. And our response to him of faith is to seek the Lord and to endeavor to understand, what is God trying to tell me here? And in this way, he also channels us differently for our good. He brings tests. And sometimes he wants to turn us in a little different direction. In 1 Peter 1:6-7, he says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." That though we may rejoice, but there may come times of heaviness and temptations, that our faith may be tried to make it more pure. Gold then is melted down until the dross can be skimmed off, until it is pure through and through, and so God is changing our lives. We're not yet what God intends us to be. We are not entirely what he wants us to be. And even though we're walking with him, he is still working with us to purify us and make us more like our Lord Jesus and to follow him. And so there is tests and trials we have in life. The test is the pressure of not wanting to do wrong and discern the Lord's will. And as we battle with Satan's suggestions and flesh allurement, we have the suggestions of Satan to our mind, the allurements of the flesh. And at the same time, we have the conviction within us and the Holy Spirit speaking to us to not bow, not give up. And so that puts us in a pressure, and it causes us to feel that we want to do the right thing, and yet we're struggling with this temptation, or that Satan is suggesting, or allurements that the flesh would like to indulge. And so it brings a certain amount of pressure on us, and we, with faith's response, we can rejoice in that pressure. But Peter says, too, there may be times of hardship and temptation because of the pressure and the stress that it brings in facing the adversity and still want to do the right thing. The adversity also, then, of suffering or denying the flesh, as Jesus showed us, the willingness to bear the same suffering with the reproach and persecution for being a Christian. And so in 1 Peter 4, 1 to 4, he says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excessive wine, revelings, banquets, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that he run not with them to the same excessive rite, speaking evil of you." And so there we see that the adversity of suffering. But we see here that Christ suffered for us, and we're going to have to suffer for him. That Christ suffered in the flesh. He died on the cross. He was weary many times as he went about teaching and walking and instructing the disciples and the people. Many times it brought him to weariness and suffering that we probably didn't even experience that. And in the garden there, and the reproach that was going to come on him for being associated with sin, and that he was hung on a tree on a cross as an evildoer. And so we also need to be willing to suffer him for him. That we no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of the men, but to the will of God. And so while we live that way in our old life, it's a new way of life. And they're going to think that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot. And so problem one in bearing the reproach and our willingness to suffer for Christ, problem one is we care very much what people say, that our eye needs to be single to do the will of God and to follow him. And yet we carry with us that tendency to have the approval of humanity. And it should be that we carry the desire to be faithful to the Lord, and we want other people to think of us as faithful. But yet we may tend to feel the pressure of either a reputation or I follow with the Lord. And so problem two is then the stress and the inner tension that we experience. And the answer to both of these is in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 to 10. Would be that we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. And so while it affects us in the circumstance or what we're facing and the temptations and the issues that have come to us, but we're troubled on every side, yet we need not be distressed. Don't give up. We can continue to reach out to the Lord. And we are perplexed. We don't know which way to turn. But don't despair. Don't think there is no way out. Because continue to remember and follow the Lord. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. That even though we are persecuted by humanity or others that don't appreciate our testimony for Christ, and maybe just don't understand us, or why we made the decision we did, why we did what we did, why we make the choices. There's many times not everybody will always understand our choices, even though we felt we were doing God's will. We're persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. And so the answer is to keep our faith, our response to God in the adversity, and to keep our faith and our trust in Him. And the answer also is in 2 Corinthians 1, in verse 3-7, where he says here, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." Referring to the fact here that we can go to the Lord for consolation. When we feel that people aren't using us right, we can turn to the Lord, and the Lord is, we know, is always looking out on our betterment and our behalf. Even though sometimes he needs to allow adversity to come to change our course of direction in life, the Lord is interested that we come out right, and he's only helping us to a better position in Christ Jesus, in which we may grow. People that are never tested, or something that's not tested, isn't going to grow very good. And because the tests we have in life will cause us to grow. And the comfort us in tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. When we have experienced hardship and reproach from other people, ourselves, then when we see another Christian that is facing the same thing, we may hopefully may have learned a few things in the relationship with the Lord, that we know how to be a comfort to someone else when they are in that kind of experience, that we can comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And so we need to learn how to come and grow out through that experience in order to be able to be a blessing and a help to somebody else. And God prepares us in this way sometimes to be of more use to Him, because He is trying to build or develop in us something that is more useful vessel in for Him. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation and aboundeth by Christ. So though we may have many sufferings in Christ, it would be sufferings we experience because we're servants of His, and this may bring us into circumstances that we didn't realize that we would be brought into. Looking then at Psalms 57 again, as we think the adversity that David was in there when he was back in the cave there, then he wrote this Psalm 57 about that, in which he first of all cried out for mercy. They "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto God." And he, the Lord, "under, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge." And so in times like these, that to go under the shadow of his wings means that we have protection. We can find comfort there. We can find understanding. We can find somebody that knows and cares, even though we may not have done everything right or even sinned. yet the Lord has forgiveness and mercy there, and we can put our trust in him. And so until these calamities be overpassed, it gives a thought there that there is an end to hard times. And while the answer for our dilemma is knowing the Lord Jesus and finding our hope in him, and yet it is a thought that can encourage us when we realize that life isn't all one hard experience, but there are better times coming, and to trust in him because of that. In verse 2, he says, he will cry unto God, Most High, unto God that performeth all things for him. And so he speaks of him as the Most High, the someone that is above the enemies that he had there, and that he was the one that was Most High, and God would perform all things for me, that no matter what the experience, God would perform the blessings for him to him. God would cause him to grow to the point where he could live through the experience. God doesn't always take us around the experience. We may pray and hope that God would take us around us, but he doesn't always do that. He rather takes us through it. In verse 3, we see that faith patiently persists. He will send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and truth. And so faith is going to patiently persist through here. And we see that in this verse here, Jesus Christ is the mercy and truth which was sent to us, and we can come to him and find forgiveness and help in our walk of life. In verse 4, we see the adversity where he says, My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. He was looking, realizing, and he was being realistic in life that we need to face the realities of life sometimes and realize that these things are going to come to pass, and know that we like when things are going pleasantly and as we like it, but there is going to be adversity. In verse 5, he says, Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, to let thy glory be above the earth, to exalt God and praise him, even through the experience of hardship, even though it hurts, yet to, with your thoughts and heart, to glorify our Lord Jesus and realize that even in distress, God is still with us. In verse 6, we see the triumph and praise. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst thereof. They are fallen themselves into their own pit. I remember a time as a schoolboy when we had we had a deep snow, and it was that hard you just walked on top of it. We could walk around. There were big drifts in the schoolyard, and somehow we delighted in digging a pit and then putting a hard layer over top of it and smoothing it all out. You couldn't see, and the idea was to see somebody come and fall into that. But one thing that happens sometimes, we forgot where we made our pits and we fell in ourselves. And this is what was happening to these, David, Saul, was happening to his enemies. They are fallen themselves into the pit they dug. And that's a lesson we can learn in life as well. that sometimes when we dig pits for other people, it's a good probability that we are the ones that might end up falling into it. Then in verse 7, he says, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." He came to the realization that even in this time of struggle, that his heart is fixed, and he was going to continue to trust him. "Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." And so our response needs to be in the hard experience of life that a response of faith and turning to God, looking to him, and finding our needs met there. Let's kneel for prayer.